The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We are turning now to Minneapolis, where federal immigration officers shot and killed a 37-year-old Minneapolis resident on Saturday. Alex Pretty was an ICU nurse who worked in the Veteran Affairs Hospital in Minneapolis. He had no criminal record and held a valid permit to carry a firearm. While attempting to help a woman who was being pepper sprayed by ICE, he was tackled to the ground, disarmed, and then shot. Video analysis shows at least 10 shots were fired at him within 5 seconds. In a moment or two, we'll get analysis from Scott Lukes and hear how state and federal officials are reacting. But first, let's hear Alex Pretty himself, who, following the death of one of his patients in 2024, recited this at their bedside while surrounded by colleagues.
Terrence Lee Randolph, March 30th, 1947, December 10th, 2024. Today we remember that freedom is not free. We have to work at it, nurture it, protect it, and even sacrifice for it. May we never forget and always remember our brothers and sisters who have served so that we may enjoy the gift of freedom. So in this moment, we remember and give thanks for their dedication and selfless service to our nation in the cause of our freedom. In this solemn hour, we render them our honor and our gratitude.
And that's Alex Pretty at the bedside of one of his patients who had passed away in 2024. Now, immediately after his killing, federal officials rushed to paint Pretty as a domestic terrorist brandishing a weapon at law enforcement. On CNN's State of the Union yesterday, anchor Dana Bash asked Border Patrol Commander-at-Large Gregory Bovino what evidence he had that Pretty was assaulting any law enforcement when video shows he was approached by them while helping another individual.
Dana, we don't need a suspect's help in an active law enforcement scene.
When you say suspect, what is he suspected of?
That's an active law enforcement scene. He knew that was an active law enforcement scene, especially when the officers approached him, and it's very evident he did not need to be where he was.
When somebody is pushed down and a person's instinct is to help that person, when somebody's pushed down by law enforcement, you're saying that you just stand back and let law enforcement do what they're doing?
You know, Dana, every situation is different. What our officers are faced with here in Minneapolis are chaotic, very difficult and violent situations in which individuals, and this suspect is not the only one to bring a loaded weapon to a riot. The situations are chaotic and ever-changing. Follow directions of, for law enforcement. Don't inject yourself knowingly beforehand into a law enforcement situation.
With respect, it feels as though in some ways you're blaming the victim here.
The victims are the Border Patrol agents. I'm not blaming the Border Patrol agents. The victim are the Border Patrol agents. The suspect put himself in that situation. The victims are the Border Patrol agents there.
So black is white and white is black. Extraordinary. The victims. There's only one victim here, and that was the man who lost his life, Alex Pretty. Now, that was the voice you heard, the Border Patrol Commander-at-Large, Gregory Bovino, claiming ICE agents are the victims. Well, on Face of the Nation, Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara was asked this question by moderator Margaret Brennan, whether Pretty would have been allowed to carry a weapon to a protest in Minneapolis.
The Minnesota gun permit rules allow for concealed carry, and there are no restrictions on carrying in a protest.
Yes.
But the Homeland Security Secretary said that he had two cartridges on him in addition to the gun. I don't know of any peaceful protester that shows up with a gun and ammunition rather than a sign. The FBI director said you cannot bring a firearm loaded with multiple magazines to any sort of protest. Are they on firm legal ground in Minnesota?
You have a Second Amendment right in the United States to possess a firearm. And there are some restrictions around that in Minnesota. And everything that we see that we are aware of shows that he did not violate any of those restrictions. He is not a convicted felon, and he is someone that did have a permit for the handgun to carry it.
So did he have magazines full of ammunition at the scene? Because both the president of the United States and the border security chief said that he did, and Bovino directly accused you of not saying that publicly. He said the police chief omitted the fact that the suspect had a gun and magazines full of ammunition.
Well, that what they are omitting is that they are not sharing any information with us, and that they blocked state law enforcement, which is the agency that conducts the overwhelming majority of police-involved shootings, from the scene. So I don't know how I'm supposed to share information with the public that they are not sharing with us.
So you have not seen evidence that there were multiple magazines, but would it even be illegal if that were the case?
I don't think there's any relevance. If someone is lawfully exercising their Second Amendment right to carry, the only question would be if they were using the weapon for an unlawful purpose.
And that's Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara, who was featured on Face the Nation yesterday. I'm joined now by Scott Lucas, Professor and Political Analyst at the Clinton Institute in UCD. Good morning, Scott.
Very good morning to you, Pat.
Now, I'm finding it frustrating, even watching, you know, the news outlets that you hope will actually tell it as it is, like CNN, you know, tippy-toeing around a lot of these things instead of calling it what it is. It's cold-blooded murder.
Yeah, Pat, if I could speak to you just as a person, you know, a native of the States, as well as an analyst. Pending an investigation, which we may not get, given what happened after the killing of Renee Nicole Good a few weeks ago, when an investigation was blocked by the Trump folks. Pending investigation, we have the videos, we have the testimony of multiple witnesses, and what we have from that evidence that we have so far is that Alex Preddy, a 37-year-old intensive care unit nurse at a Veterans Administration hospital, who specifically looked after men and women just before they passed away, who read prayers for them after they had passed. He was executed. And I know what that word means, but he was executed. Without going into the full details of all the videos, Alex Preddy was filming, observing Immigrations and Customs Enforcement Border Patrol officers when they were in the area carrying out operations. He was not impeding operations, nor were the other observers. But when these armed, masked federal agents assaulted a woman, knocked her to the ground, pepper sprayed her, he moved to intervene. When he did so, he, still holding a phone, not a firearm, was knocked to the ground. As he lay on the ground, the federal officers pulled the gun out of his clothing and then immediately fired multiple shots. He was executed, but instead of having an investigation, instead of sealing off the scene, Trump officials and Donald Trump themselves rushed with the falsehood that Alex Preddy had brandished a gun and was threatening a massacre of federal officers, something that was completely untrue.
Now, we are asked by the administration, if we're American citizens and we're following all of this in our homes on screens, and you're hearing from Kristi Noem, you're hearing from Bovino himself, you're hearing from the president, you'll hear from Vance, no doubt, in time. He was obnoxious again over the weekend before this killing. And you're told, do not believe the evidence of your own eyes. Now, I don't know, how long can the administration expect this to hold? I mean, even on Fox News, you're beginning to see, hang on a second, moments.
Yeah, Pat, but there's still a huge fight here in terms of getting this on the grounds of getting a proper investigation. And then, in a wider sense, getting some site legal authorization and legal accountability for what, in effect, are shock troopers raging across Minnesota. The reason why I say that is that Fox had a wobble yesterday and said, oh, look, there isn't the evidence there that he brandished a gun. But this morning, Fox, and I think because they were fed the information by Trump people who either hacked the information or got it from a source, they are posting as their lead story that there was a radical left-wing movement that was planning to impede all these officers. Now, in fact, if you actually look at those signal communications, all it is effectively like a neighborhood watch, which is saying ICE is going to be in this area. Keep your eyes open. It does not say at any point that these people who were citizens, not radical leftists, were actually a radical movement that were the perpetrators of the crime, rather than in the case of Alex Preddy being the victim.
I mean, the strategy seems to be tell the big lie and tell it as early and often as you can. There's a very interesting video going around online where they have Kristi Noem, who's responsible for this terror, and they have Bovino, who's the on the ground responsible for this terror, reading statements, separate statements at different times, but shortly after the outrage. And they're parroting virtually the same words. They're small little deflections, but they have the two voices running in sync. And the two of them are effectively reading from the same script. So who's writing the script? Is it Stephen Miller?
I think Stephen Miller will be instrumental in this. And of course, he has been the leader of the within the administration of the crackdown, not just on undocumented immigrants, but on legal immigrants. You will have J.D. Vance, who will be very much involved in this. As you mentioned, Vance was out over the weekend before the killing of Preddy, pushing the whole line that, you know, that law enforcement were being threatened by these radicals. Trump's people, his own media people, will be involved in this because, of course, you're not just talking about statements on television. You're talking about the social media statements. In other words, even though an administration can quite often be chaotic, they are fairly coordinated here. What has tripped them up, however, has been that they got their lines out ahead of the videos, and the videos have completely undermined them. So just to update you where we are now, Pat, there's a bit of a wobble by Trump this morning. Trump is now saying, oh, we'll have to have a full review of everything, a full review. And I think that's because some Republican legislators came out over the weekend, and these are normally people who would support Trump, and some of them said, no, there needs to be an investigation here. And even a couple who said, perhaps we should think about getting ICE out of Minnesota.
Now, Trump is cunning and he's politically savvy, even though a lot of what he does, we can't believe he's getting away with it. But he's politically savvy. So he will throw Kristi Noem to the wolves if required.
Yeah, but in this case, I'm not sure that the administration can do that, Pat, because, first of all, we do have a movement by some Democrats to impeach Kristi Noem, and that would put the Trump folks on the spot. I think the reason why I say it may be difficult for him to throw her to the wolves is that when you have, and let's call it what it is, when you have an authoritarian moment, and this is an authoritarian regime, they cannot show weakness. They have thrown 3,000 ICE officers into Minnesota, mainly for political reasons. And if they pull ICE out or they pull back on the mission there, it also means they may not be able to deploy elsewhere. And if they cannot use that authoritarian force, again, not just against immigrants, against U.S. citizens, they effectively have been called out. So I don't think we're there yet that Trump is looking to sacrifice anyone.
Now, the question of whether all of this is a deliberate provocation, I mean, Trump has been mentioning the Insurrection Act and people labeling them as insurrectionists in the last couple of weeks. I mean, is this all towards the midterms, knowing that the polls are not going great for him? The idea of turning around the economy, et cetera, in jig time is probably not really feasible. So is he heading towards a situation where, for example, you've effective civil war on the ground in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, rather, when Walz puts the National Guard on standby, then Trump decides maybe to bring the federal troops down from Alaska to do battle with the National Guard in Minnesota. Is that what it's all about?
I think there were multiple factors with how we got here, Pat. I think that Trump himself is embittered that he lost Minnesota in three straight elections. And he said this repeatedly, of course, saying that it was rigged against him. I then think you have the case where Minnesota has had issues with fraud, as many states have had issues with fraud. But the Trump folks saw a weakness there, that they could exploit this to attack the Democratic leadership, Governor Walz and Mayor Fry of Minneapolis, for example. And then I think you had the big factor here, which is that Trump despises Representative Ilhan Omar, who is born in Somalia. And by extension, he despises the Somalian community, including those Somalian Americans, people who are citizens. So you could use race and you could use this threat of the other to send ICE in. But as this spirals, Pat, it could go farther. So you had Pam Bondi, the attorney general, writing this message to Minnesota officials, effectively saying, look, we'll withdraw ICE if you turn over election information. voter rolls to us, something that they have no right to have. And of course, if Minnesota had turned over voter rolls, we're not saying the elections would have been canceled, but there are ways to manipulate that information, which could have favored Trump.
Now, the question of Kristi Noem surviving, I mean, Governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, has called on either her to step down because of this unconscionable murder in Minneapolis by her thugs, or for Trump to sack. Now, for a Democratic governor to do that, I mean, Trump won't pay any attention to it. But it's interesting that in New York, there are policemen on the streets confronting ICE agents and telling them, this is our city. Get lost.
Yeah, and we had the prospect in Minnesota because the National Guard were deployed to protect federal buildings, given how heated things were after the execution of Alex Pretty. Now, they have now been stood down. But you had the prospect of National Guard units facing, you know, ICE, facing Border Patrol. And, of course, Trump wanted to send the U.S. military in there. I think, Pat, let's cut to the chase here. We're not going to get a line drawn against how bad this could get until you get Republicans coming out in state legislatures and in the U.S. Congress and saying this cannot go on. And we have had four Republican senators who have come out and raised queries over the weekend. Problem, Pat, there are 53 Republican senators in that chamber. So there are more who need to come out before I think Trump is constrained.
At the same time, when you look at the senators who came out, weren't three of them kind of the usual suspects, the people who do articulate anti-Trump sentiment from time to time?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there was Tom Tillis of North Carolina, who's retiring, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who has long been wary of Trump. I think the main person that I was watching who did come out was Senator Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, who has not been anti-Trump on a regular basis, but who is being threatened with an opponent in his Republican primary next year by the Trumpist. If Cassidy gets more support behind his call, that makes a difference, as does the call, Pat, of a guy named James Comer, who is head of the House Oversight Committee. Now, until a few weeks ago, Comer, who's a Republican from Kentucky, was leading hearings which were assaulting Minnesota, you know, just spreading all this misinformation about Minnesota. But he came out yesterday and said, look, perhaps we should think about pulling ICE out of Minnesota and redeploying elsewhere. That type of statement, if it gets momentum, it doesn't stop the problem, Pat, but maybe it gives us a brief breathing space from all the violence.
And of course, if you look at where migrants are in the United States, the biggest number in any individual state is in the biggest state, which is Texas. And there's no action there because Texas is Republican. So you can see the political color of all of this. Finally, I should ask you about another little wrinkle in all of this. And that is the statement that came out from the National Rifle Association. You know, normally we wouldn't find ourselves in any kind of agreement with them because they want to arm the entire population of the United States if they can. But they are concerned that someone who's got a permit to conceal and carry can be shot dead by federal agents, the ICE agents. I mean, it puts all of their fans in danger, does it not?
Yeah, the reason why National Rifle Association came out so firmly is that Kash Patel, the director of the FBI, in one of those Sunday morning interviews, incorrectly, falsely, misleadingly said that Alex Pretty had broken the law by having a gun, which is flat out untrue, as you heard from the Minneapolis police chief. Well, the National Rifle Association looked at that and said, well, wait a minute, does that mean that any person carrying a gun for whatever reason, even if they have a legal permit, is subject to being accosted or detained or even worse? And there were a couple of legislators who came out immediately after that who said, oh, we're worried about the Second Amendment right here to carry arms. So yeah, that twist is there that even amongst his own base, or at least those who might normally support him, Donald Trump is risking alienating him because of how far his shock troops have gone on the ground.
Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at UCD, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.